giving us this glorious, this wonderful day, a day in which I hope you've given him thanks, because it is in him that you live and move and have your being. You can't live without God. You may think otherwise. You can't know anything without God. You may think otherwise. God is, in spite of what men say today, what they think and what they believe. They may say that they do not believe that there is a God, but God says otherwise. In fact, he says that that all men know that God is. And so therefore, our place, your place, is simply and only to submit to him, to seek him with all your heart, all your soul, mind and strength, with all the God-given faculties that you have to be used in seeking him and serving him. Bible says that God is to be sought and found, not playing hide and seek with you. You say that you want evidence. You don't need evidence. You know that God is just as much as I do, because he has revealed himself to you. It's indelibly stamped upon your soul, your innermost being, the knowledge of God. And no matter how much you try to erase it, no matter how much you fight against it, no matter whose works, Darwin or Dawkins, you use as an excuse for not believing, trusting in the true and living God, you still can't get away with it. You going to heaven one day, madam, do you think?
I think.
You hoping? Only hoping? Hoping in what? On what basis?
Forgiveness of the sins.
Right. Okay, that's good. Who's going to do the forgiving? Who can forgive your sins? You don't know? You should know. It's in the Bible. Do you believe in the Bible?
Yeah.
Bible says that if we trust in Jesus Christ, he will forgive us our sins and give us the assurance of heaven.
You just ask him to forgive me.
That's right. That's right. You cast yourself upon God's mercy in Jesus. Bible says God sent his Son into the world that through him that we might live, that we might have forgiveness, and that we might be made right with God. Bible talks about us being justified before God. To justify a person is to make them right, and we need, because of our sin, we need to be made right with God.
Yeah.
And God has made provision for us in sending his Son to die on the cross. See the words there? Christ, a person, not a religion. A person, Jesus. Yeah. What he did, he died. He died a death not because he had sinned, but because we had sinned. Yeah. And who did he do it for? The ungodly. Those who are, you know, not like God as they should be. So when you put your trust, all your hope and all your confidence in Jesus and what he did.
Got serious about this.
Oh, definitely. Like serious, like never before.
Okay.
Absolutely. Would you like a copy of God's word?
Yeah.
Have a read for yourself? Yeah?
You.
Have a good day, eh? Have a good day. You see, I think the greatest lie of all time, I used to think it was otherwise, but you know, I think that the greatest lie that's believed, that's accepted by men and women today, is this: I'm good. I'm good. I was speaking to some people in Longton yesterday, few people, and I asked them the question, one question anyway. I said, did they think that they were a good person? And the majority of them, in fact all but one honest man out of the lot, with a wicked laugh when I said to him, did I think his goodness would get him to heaven? With a wicked laugh, he said, not a chance, not a chance. But majority of people were telling me that they were good. One lady said she had helped a family member, so on that basis, she must be a good person. Some people, because of, well, religious attachments, associations, and other people, well, you know, because they hadn't murdered anyone or done anything really, really seriously wrong. And so, you see, I ask you, you think that you're a good person? You think you're a good person, sir?
Yeah.
Huh? On what basis?
Who was God?
What?
Who was God?
Jesus.
On the internet, right?
Yes.
Jesus didn't know who God was.
Say again?
Jesus didn't know who God was.
His father. He said, yes, he did. Yes, he did. He said, I always obey my father. I always do what my... Every time you look in the mirror, sir, you see a man made in the image of God. Yeah? He has revealed himself. You know that God is, just as much as I do, God has revealed himself to you. Yeah? You can't live without God. You can't breathe without God. You can't know anything without God. You don't need evidence, sir. What you need is to submit to God. Is that a copy of God's word? Have a read for yourself. Go on. Won't do you any harm, sir. It's God's truth. Believe every word of it. Believe God's word. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. He is the Holy Lord. So, good people. That's what we're talking about. You think you're a good person? That God should accept you and let you into heaven? Well, let me ask you. Upon what basis... do you term yourself good? Is that, because you've not done anything gross, or because your friends think that you're good, your family think that you're good, or is it just your own subjective feelings? On what basis do you judge yourself to be good? Well, the Bible, it tells us that God is perfect, and he demands perfect. So if you've got any flaw at all, that is to say, if you've ever told a lie, if you've stolen anything, big or small, doesn't matter, if you've ever rebelled against authority, if... Oh, there, how you doing?
My girlfriend's got a question for you.
Go on then.
She thinks, when did God create the angels?
When? When he created everything else.
When?
God created everything in 6 days in the beginning.
Holy shit.
Yeah? Okay? Let me ask you a question. Yeah? You're a good person? Huh? On what basis do you judge yourself to be a good person? Because why? Why are you a good person? Huh? Go on. Have a go. You ever told a lie?
No.
No? Never. Never, ever. You're the only place in all the world then. You ever stolen anything? Rebelled against your parents?
Yeah.
No, she says with a smile. All of those and more. By doing those things, we break God's commandments, and so therefore we're sinners, and that keeps you out of heaven. God requires absolute, utter perfection, and the only way that you or I can be judged by God to be perfect is in His Son, Jesus Christ. So when you repent, you turn away from your sins, give them up, yeah? Turn to Jesus and believe in Him. He will forgive you and give you the assurance of going to heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay.
Have
a nice day, do you?
Yeah.
Where's that?
Down ground.
Pardon? That doesn't need to be. That doesn't have to be.
I've got some real bad things.
Yeah, well, why don't you give them up? Why don't you repent? Why don't you turn from them?
Try.
And turn to Jesus. Well, that's the trouble, you see. The more you try, the worse it gets. Yeah, because you can't do it yourself. That's why Jesus came. You can in his strength and his power, yeah, call upon his name and you shall be saved. He does the work, not you. You can't break the power of one single sin. What's your name?
Sam.
Sam. Good to meet you, Sam. And yours?
Sam.
Sinead. That's a nice name. Well, you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be lost. Jesus came to save people like you and me. Yeah? He loved you so much, Sam, he came all the way from heaven's glory to die on a cross. That's a bad experience, eh? But you see, there are wicked people in the world, Sam. There are wicked religious people in the world. I mean, look at what some of these, and this isn't all Muslims, but you look at what some of these Muslims are doing in the Middle East. Just because a person's religious doesn't mean to say they're good. But the nun will answer for her sins. But you not got to let her keep you back from getting right with God. Yeah? Forget that and move on. Ask Jesus to deal with your sin. Yeah? He will. He loved you, he came, and he died on a cross so that you could be forgiven and go to heaven and not hell. Yeah? Have a good day, guys, eh? Okay. So on what basis do you judge yourself to be a good person? That's the question. And of course, God requires absolute perfection. So if you ever told a lie, if you ever stole anything, if you ever rebelled against authority, your parents or somebody else, if you ever coveted anything, all of these, you see, are contrary to God's commandments. And that is, of course, what separates us from God. Some people ask me the question, they say, what does ungodly mean? And what does it mean to be ungodly? Well, it's to be unlike God in your character and nature. God, you see, is holy, described in the Bible three times holy. He is the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And you see, to be ungodly is to be unlike that, not like God in character and nature. So if you're a really good person, kind of good person that gets to heaven, then, well, you need to be conformed to God's nature and character. Your goodness, you see, is imperfect. Your goodness won't pass the mark and won't get you into heaven. Even if it's religious goodness, some people saying to me yesterday that, I'm a Methodist, you know, and I go to the Methodist Church. I'm a Roman Catholic, and I go to the Roman Catholic Church. God will not judge you. God will not send you to hell because send you to heaven, sorry, because you're a Methodist or a Roman Catholic. Of course, he won't send you to hell because of these things either. Send you to hell because you're a sinner like all other men, need to be forgiven, need the mercy of God, the kindness of God, need to be reconciled to God. This is man's greatest need. I declare to you people, it is still today, as ever it was and ever it shall be till the end of the age. Men and women need to be reconciled to God. Whatever need you have this afternoon, maybe it's a medical one, maybe you need some kind of healing, maybe you need some kind of medicine, or maybe it's an employment issue, or maybe it's a financial one, you need a loan from the bank. All these needs pale into insignificance in comparison with your need to get right with God. And the only way a person can get right with God is through Jesus Christ, through God's Son, who came into the world to rescue sinners, to reconcile us to God. So don't be relying upon your goodness. It's not good enough. You need perfection, and only God is perfection. God alone is good. Bible says there's none good, no, not one. None who understands, none who seeks after God, all gone out of the way and together become unprofitable. There is none, says God, that does good. You say, well, I know a lot of good people. I know a lot of people that spend all their time and all their resources helping other people, humanitarian deeds. Surely they're good people. No, says God, because it's not done for the glory of God. Hello, girls. You think one day you go to heaven?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to heaven.
How?
I pray 5 times a day.
How are you going to get there? Who's going to get you there?
Allah.
Allah? Oh, see what Allah says? You know, the Quran says that the Bible, the first revelation is perfect. Faultless. The Bible is perfect. And the prophet Moses says that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. So if your sins are not forgiven, you can't go to heaven.
My sins are forgiven.
Jesus is the only one who can forgive your sins. And unless you're trusting in Him and His blood shed on the cross, you can't be forgiven and go to heaven.
But I can't go to heaven if I'm not Christian.
That's right.
That's not true.
Yes, that's what the Bible says.
Yeah, and the Bible says that, but the Quran doesn't say that I can't go to heaven if I'm not Christian.
But the Quran says the Bible is perfect.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
You just said to me that I can't go to heaven if I'm not Christian.
Yep, that's right. You got to follow Jesus.
I don't follow Jesus.
But you got to. You got to turn. You got to, what? Oh, he is. You got to turn. The Bible is God's word alone.
God's word.
Faultless.
The Quran is faultless?
No. Muhammad said the first revelation, the Bible is perfect. Perfect. Yeah.
The Quran is perfect.
Pardon?
The Quran is perfect.
No, it's not. Yes. Yes. When? Yes, I'm sure. Yes, I'm positive. I'm positive and I've read about it. So turn from your sins. Turn to Jesus. Ask Him, please, forgive my sins, because I want
every day by reading the Bible. I want to.
That's a false way that will lead you.
You're telling me that my religion is false.
It will lead you to hell, not heaven. Have a good day, girls. Think about it. So where was I? I've forgotten. Goodness, getting to heaven, getting forgiven. Well, Jesus only can do that for you. Oh yeah, none good. That was it. None good. So you say, well, what about all these people that do these humanitarian aids? Surely they're good. No, that's not the goodness that God's talking about. He says goodness, things that are done for God's glory, with dependence upon God and His grace. That's the goodness, you see. And there's none good, not naturally speaking. God says, not a single one who is good. And people do these humanitarian things. They do it, well, for their own glory, their own praise, their own satisfaction, multitude of reasons. May do good things, may help a lot of people, but they don't help themselves in getting to heaven. You see, there's only one way you can get to heaven, and that's by trusting in the goodness of God revealed to us in Jesus, His Son, in making provision for us by His dying on the cross, rising from the dead, that we might be washed and made clean, justified, made right with God. So, you see, it's because none of us are good, essentially good, really good, good as far as God's concerned. Holiness, without holiness, the Bible says, no man shall see the Lord, shall see God, that is. And of course, well, holiness, if a person is holy, it means that they are devoted, and everything about them is devoted to God. You know, their finances are devoted to God, their marriage is devoted to God, their homes devoted to God, their hearts, their lives, everything about them is devoted to God. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So you see, it's because of that sin, that dreadful, dreadful, awful sin, that the Bible says that one day God is universally, He's going to judge the whole world of sinners. The Bible says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Some people might think and say, well, you know, it's all very well for God to judge me. He's God and I'm just a human being, you know. But people, it won't be like that. You see, you'll be judged by a man, the man Christ Jesus, the Son of God who came into the world, lived and died and rose again from the dead to provide salvation for us. But the Bible tells us He's coming again to judge the world in righteousness. So it's before Him that you'll stand on that last and great day, when God universally judges the entire world. The earth mourns. Listen to what the Bible says. The earth mourns and withers. The world languishes and withers. The highest people of the earth languish. The earth lies defiled under its inhabitants, for they have transgressed the laws, violated the statutes, broken the everlasting covenant. You see, God tells us the very reasons why He's going to judge the world in righteousness, of course, because every man, woman and child is a covenant breaker. God made man upright in the beginning, faultless, without sin, made us righteous, wanting for nothing. Everything you might say was lovely in the garden. And God made man to have friendship with God, a covenant, a bond of friendship, so that we could enjoy and glorify God in this world, in our lives, and forever in all eternity. But that bond of friendship, you see, the Bible says, has been broken because of man's sin. God created man freely to serve Him and to enjoy Him. But of course, that's broken, that lies in pieces. Now, well, the essence of sin, isn't it? Self-serving. You serve yourself, you know, your own satisfactions, what you desire. You see, the truth is, people, that you'll never desire God, you'll never desire to please God until, as Jesus says, you've been born again. You see, sin's a heart matter. You see, it's a love for that which is forbidden. is a love for that which is contrary to God, to His nature and character. And in your sin you say, that's what you love, that's what you desire. You don't want to let it go. You won't come to the light because your deeds are evil, and because you love those evil deeds. You cling to them. It's what your heart's desire is. And that will never change until God changes your heart. Until He performs this wonderful sovereign miracle where He changes a person on the inside. Religion will change you on the outside, change the way you dress, change places you go, change places that you meet with perhaps, but it doesn't change you on the inside. You're still the same on the inside. Your desires haven't changed. You still desire the wrong things, the things that are ungodly and contrary to God. But you see, when a person's born again, God changes the heart. He takes the stony, the hardened heart out, and He gives you a heart of flesh. It's a heart transplant that's needed, you see. Then you desire God, and you desire the things of God. You desire to please God. You desire friendship with God. That's the very thing for which you were created, you were made. And of course, God made us in His image, the Bible says, and therefore suitable for friendship with God. But that's no longer the case now. In your natural state, in your sinful condition, you're no longer suitable for friendship with God. You couldn't have friendship with God if you wanted. Not that you want to, you don't want to. And that, of course, is another manifestation of your sin. You see, now the Bible says, man, in his natural state and condition, is an enemy of God. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ died for us. He died for the ungodly while we were enemies of God. Think about it. Some of you would maybe perhaps you would give your lives for somebody that you love, somebody that you really like. You hear of some great heroic acts in military service. You know, some soldier, he takes himself and throws himself on a hand grenade, you know, thrown by the enemy. And of course, he sacrifices his life for his comrades. But, you see, people... It may be in such a case as that, for a good person, the Bible says, maybe, just maybe, some of you would die for a good person. But here, the Bible says Jesus died. What, sir? What? Can't hear you. What death? Death came into the world because of man sinned, sir. The wages of sin is death. Sin came into the world by one man, and death came to all men as a result of it. It's because of sin, sir. Repent of your sin, and you will live eternally, everlastingly, in Jesus. So, you see, people, where was I? Yeah, for a good person, but the Bible says that while we were enemies, cut off from God, friendship broken in tatters and in pieces, Jesus died in order to reconcile us to God, bring us back into that bond of friendship with God. But that's what you were made for, you see? And it's because of this broken relationship God is going to judge the entire human race. And He's going to judge us perfectly in righteousness. You know, there'll be no excuses. Well, there won't even be any words when you stand before God. There'll just be absolute silence and utter terror. nothing else, because of that broken relationship. You see, you ought to know God. I mean, you ought to know Him relationally, because you know that He is. You say you don't, but you do. Because God has showed it to you. He stamped the knowledge of Himself upon your being. And no matter what you do, you cannot possibly get rid of it. Listen to what God says in the Bible about that. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, if you want to check it out. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has showed it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. No excuse, people. Not a leg to stand on. You know that God is. But because you deny Him, and because you do not know Him, you will be judged. Bible says, well, my dear, thank you, there's two of us, eh? God bless you. You see, God, the Bible says that Jesus is coming with His holy angels in flaming fire to take vengeance upon all them. Listen up.
What? Explain to the people of Christ what an eye for an eye means.
You murder somebody.
Come on.
You.
You tell the truth.
Listen.
You tell the truth.
Do you want an answer?
What does it mean?
Do you want an answer? Listen. Listen.
Come on.
Listen. It means if you murder somebody, the state has the authority, the God-given authority, to take your life.
Listen. In the Bible, what does it mean, God? Come on.
What are you on? You've been smoking dope again.
Are you mad? You told me last time.
That'll rot your brain cells. Judgment.
That's what you said, the Bible.
Judgment is in the hands of God. And God has put the sword in the hands of the magistrate, the state, the government, to deal with lawbreakers, to deal with sinners, wicked sinners, who destroy the lives of others. So as I was saying,
the world is just a tiny little marble.
Yep.
Tiny little grain of sand.
Yep.
On a beach.
Yep.
Well,
it's not on a beach, but I know what you mean.
It is God created.
Uh-huh.
So why do you have this much on this planet? Science holds.
He did not. God didn't put the rubbish there. Man did. Man did. You did. You put it there. I put it there. We all put it there.
Everyone was liberated. Everybody, you know why? Because of war.
That's right. Get right with God. Get right with God. That's the answer. Dump the religion. And dump all the rest of the rubbish and get yourself right with God. That's the answer. So you ought to know Him, you see, because He has showed it to you. It's clear that God is. Got all the evidence you need. You're without excuse, says God. You know, but you live in the lie. You've exchanged the truth for the lie, and you live in the lie without the knowledge of God. And because of that, Jesus is coming with his holy angels to judge all those who do not know God and who obey not the gospel, the Bible says. You see, we've all corrupted everything that God has made and given to us. All the rubbish my friend was just speaking about. God drew the lines in the sand, if you like. He prescribed the limits, you see, of our habitation. If I was to read to you the Ten Commandments, I won't, but if I were, you know, to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, to love your neighbor as yourself, no other gods but God, remember, Sabbath day to keep it holy, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, and so on. You see, God prescribed the limits for our safety, our well-being, not to restrict you. Hello.
Not to commit adultery, not to commit rape. But the British United Kingdom are the biggest pillagers, rapists, and inventors of them all, because we conquered everybody at the end of the day. So go back, I saw that there, right? We're going back in history. Come on. Think about what you're standing up here and preaching.
Jesus.
You must be brainwashed.
Jesus. No.
Jesus.
What are you on, man?
I'm on nothing. Do you know what I'm on?
What?
I'm on oxygen and air.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Well, okay. I'll tell you what for that.
Breathing.
I'll tell you what for that.
I might have had
Listen.
2 half a pint in a pub.
There we go. He's a liar. He's a liar. See? I'm not on nothing. Nothing but oxygen, free air, you said. Now you tell me you're on the booze. Come on, which is it? See that lie?
I brought the breakfast. Do you know why? Because society says you have to wake up at blah de blah o'clock in the morning or the day or the afternoon to go to work, to pay your taxes.
Yeah.
But then, do you know what? You go to the shop then after you get your wage, and do you know what? You pay tax on that piece of bed you're in. And then do you know what? Them people that have even bought that have paid tax on that.
Somebody's got to pay for the National Health Service.
Who owns what? At the end of the day, look into it right now. Who owns what? You've got people that own shipping companies. You've got people that own oil companies, right? Who are the same people who own bits and stock markets, right? So they control the market. They know what's coming in, what they can sell it at, what they can get the price at, and us is little sheep. Yes? Bah!
What's
that's
that,
what we do.
What's
you know
that,
what? My eyes are open.
What's that got to do with your sin?
Because
and God,
it's not about sin, it's not about God, it's about who we are and did we really come from Christ. Come on.
Yes.
Do you think he clicked his finger and now, bam, there was the whole universe.
He spoke and brought it into being.
Both.
You included. Have a nice day. As I was saying, people, you know, it's not your goodness, but the goodness of God, of Jesus Christ, his Son, making provision for you so that your sins might be forgiven and you credited with the perfect righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ.
How do you explain?
Reconciled to God.
How do you explain planet Nibiru?
Where was I? Oh yes, God, that's it. God prescribes the limits. He gave you those commandments not to restrict you, not to spoil your fun, but people, so that you could live wholesomely, healthily, so that you could be protected from the ravages of sin, so that you could live the way that God created you to live in friendship with Him. All the mess, all the trouble, all the brokenness of relationships and everything else that you see, bad in this world, Jesus tells us, where it comes from, out of the hearts of men. Greedy men, high men, low men, beggars on the street, and those high and lofty in society. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All men have sinned. None righteous, no, not one, says God. And therefore, in need of reconciliation to God, the forgiveness of your sins, and restoring to that friendship relationship with Almighty God for which you are made, you are created. Only Jesus, only the Son of God, who shed his blood on a Roman cross some 2,000 years ago, only he can do
that.
The gospel people,
Jesus,
Christ died for the ungodly. A person, not a religion, the person of God's Son, the man Christ Jesus, only mediator between God and men, Jesus Christ, the person of God's Son alone, he died not because he had done wrong, not because he had sinned. He was perfect, utterly righteous. He died on a Roman cross 2,000 years ago.
Why a
Roman
one?
Did he do it for?
Why
he did it
Jewish?
For
Why
the
not?
Ungodly. Those who are so unlike God, contrary to God,
because
in their character and in their nature. People, turn. Why will you die, says the Lord? Why will you perish in your sin when there is a Savior, one who can deliver you from the wrath to come and from this universal judgment of God that is coming upon the whole, the entire world? God will bring all men to justice, and he has given us notice of this, that we might take heed, and that we might diligently seek after God. For those who do so, he says, they will find him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. But you must seek him with all your heart, all your soul and mind. You must seek him the way that you seek after your sin. Some of you, you would travel the Atlantic Ocean to commit adultery. No expense would be spared. You wouldn't give any consideration to the cost. Well, with the same diligence, the same abandonment, of course, whatever it costs you, friends or foes, go home, get into your room, shut yourself away with an open Bible and cry out to the Lord on your knees. Seriously, very seriously, as the young lady said earlier on. And people seek him, cry out to him until he comes to you, and until you know that you have a pardon, till you know that your sins are forgiven, till you know that you've been reconciled to Almighty God, till you know that heaven is your home and not some hellish hovel. A heavenly mansion is what God promises those who trust him through his Son Jesus Christ. God has made provision for you. His Son has made peace between you and God so that you might be reconciled to God. He made that peace by the blood of his cross. But people, that peace must be received by you consciously, deliberately. You must receive it, and you receive his peace in receiving God's Son, Jesus Christ. He came to his own, but his own received him not. But to those who did seek him, those who did receive him, to them he gave the right, the authority to become children of God. We're not children of God by nature. You're not born a child of God. You're born a child of wrath. And people, the only way that that adoption can take place, the only way that your family circumstances can be altered, is through the blood of Christ. It's through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So your goodness, people, shot to pieces. No good. Yours and mine. Your filth, your righteousnesses, your best deeds, God says, are like filthy rags. Wouldn't touch them. He's of purer eyes than to behold evil. But people, oh people, you can be made right with God today. You can be credited with the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, the flawless righteousness of Christ, by trusting, by believing on His name. To as many as received Him by faith, whoever shall call upon His name in faith shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Repent and believe the gospel. Change your mind, people. That's what repentance means. A change of mind. Change your thinking about God. Change your thinking about His Son. Change your thinking about your sin. Change your thinking about heaven and hell. Change your thinking about your world view, how you see this world, where it's going. And people, embrace the truth of God revealed to you in the Bible, the absolute, authoritative truth of God. Your word is truth, Jesus said, concerning the Bible. There can't be two. The Quran, the authority of some church establishment, one authority and one alone. God's truth, the Bible. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. His ways far superior to your ways. You find His thoughts in the Bible, in His Word. And as you embrace them in repentance, in that change of mind, forsaking your thoughts, abandoning your sinful, fallen thinking, and embracing God's thinking, people, you will walk in His way. Your life will be transformed because your heart will be transformed, changed from one degree of glory to another, made fit for heaven. And one day you'll step out of this world. Your life will be over and you'll step into heaven's glory. But if you reject, if you will not believe the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, if you reject and go on rejecting, one day you'll step out of this world and you will sink and you will fall eternally into the pits and damnation of hell. People, God is just, holy and righteous, merciful, good and kind towards those who repent, to turn from their sin, from their brokenness, from all that's false, and turn to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. No other name under the entire canopy of heaven whereby a person can be saved. The name of Jesus Christ, God's Son. You would like to have a copy of God's Word? I'm done. My colleague's going to take over. But if you'd like a copy of God's Word, gladly place one into your hands. Read and see that these things are sure. May God bless you and have mercy upon your presence.